I recently put on my Instagram page a post about taking prayer requests, and one of the prayer requests that I received over and over again was about people wanting to grow closer to God. Their prayer was to grow closer to Him versus just growing closer to Him. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of the fact that they have the power and the capacity and the time, like now, to grow closer to Him in this moment. Like, yes, the prayer helps with encouragement. It helps to align your heart with the will of the Father. But a lot of that also is like, we have it, you know? Like, we have the ability to go do it. A lot of people want to grow closer to God, but, you know, how often are you getting in the Word? You know, how often are you praying? How often do you have the desire to be amongst people who are believing the same thing as you? And these are all questions that I'm just asking rhetorically, because for those of you who are watching, or for those of you who are making that prayer request known to God that you want to grow closer to Him, yes, prayer is important, but it also should be met with it should be met with action. It should be met with steps to move into that. For example, the person who called you and or said, "Hey, we're gonna go get dinner. You could have said no to that. You know? You could have said, "Nah, I'm busy." You could have not been busy at all, but like, "Nah, I'm busy. I can't make it." You know? Like, we always have a choice in terms of how we choose to respond when God presents Himself before us. And that's one of the ways that I've been learning a lot about myself and my relationship with God the past a year and a half. Actually, about this time last year, because I was surrounded with people, David, as you know, David, TJ, and Bella. I don't know if you know all three of them. But,
I do. Not like personally, but like, I know who they are. Yeah, absolutely.
So seeing them live out their faith in a way where they desire to be in the presence of God day in, day out, they did not miss a beat. And it wasn't like someone was pressuring them to do this. They wanted this, you know? And because they were hungry, and because they wanted it so bad, God met them. God said, "Okay, you're hungry, I got you." Like, he came through for them. He presented Himself to them because they were hungry for it. They were hungry for His Word, so He fed them with His Word. And seeing them live out their lives and their faith in a way that was pleasing in the sight of God because they were hungry for it encouraged me to go do the same. And it's just being, like, seeing them be hungry for it and seeing them choose to seek the Lord caused me to go forth and say, "All right, what are the ways that I can seek the Lord? What are the ways that I can include Him in my daily life?" Like you said, right? Like, it is simple, but it's kind of like if you have a friend, like you got a best friend, or you got a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, and something happens and you want to call that person and share with them your life on a consistent basis about what's happening. Like, that's essentially that's what prayer is, right? Now, it goes much deeper as you grow in your faith. It won't ever stay at that level. Like, we're always growing. But at the beginner level, at like just starting out, it's the equivalent of sharing your life with a being in that same way, in that same capacity. And for the people, again, who prayed about wanting to grow closer to God, I think the answers to the prayer is, you know, what can you do to grow closer to God? What can you do that would push you closer towards God? Or is it reading His Word? Is it finding a Bible study group? Is it getting connected with the church? Is it praying, you know, before you go to bed? Is it praying when you wake up, you know? And I'm not saying everyone's faith needs to look the same. What you do and how you're closer to God is not the same that I do. But I will tell you that there's a baseline of seeking the Lord wholeheartedly and genuinely. And even what you said about, yes, like we are prone to sin, I think something that's really interesting that we can forget is that the Lord doesn't desire us to sin, but to walk in holiness and this relationship with Christ is that sanctification process of, like, the things that I used to desire to do, I now have new desires because they came from the Lord. You know, like the word says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seeking the Lord, wait a minute. Is this, I'm gonna read it. There's a verse, well, that is it, Matthew 6:33. There's also one that talks about the desires of our hearts. Is it Proverbs 3 verse? Yeah, it might be that one. We gonna find it. It's in here.
Gotta shovel through the pages.
For real, man. For real. Okay, here we go.
A lot of good stuff in there.
There is. Yeah, we'll go to 6. I heard David explain that it's not God giving us whatever we want, but us learning through Christ to desire the things that God wants for us. That's how I'm going to word that. Mm. And,
wow.
You know, if you does, honestly, I'm going to shut up. I don't need to say nothing else about that. I'm leaving it alone.
We're going to close that door.
I'm going to let God have the glory on that one. I'm not even going to touch that. But yeah, man, it's as simple as that.
That's good stuff, though. I mean, especially, I guess, just like hearing about, you know, Bella and TJ and David. And I've seen a lot of David stuff on TikTok. Like,
yeah.
Y'all should go follow him. Mm-hmm. Like,
TikTok and Instagram.
It's like, yeah. His stuff's amazing. And it's going to make you think. And it's going to bring you closer to God. I mean, yeah. Like, really. But I like how you said, like, it is. It's easy to say anything. I could tell you that I'm going to go bench 315 in the gym right now, which I guess I can't. I can't do that. My chest ain't like that.
One day.
We'll get there. But it's like the work you have to do to get there.
Mm.
And so it's like, I could tell you I'm a great Christian and that I do all these things, but like, am I actually doing them?
Mm.
Yeah. Am I reading the Bible every day?
Yeah.
Am I trying to set aside time for God?
Yeah.
I think that was like one of my biggest things too, is like, and I still struggle with it. Like, trust me, like, it took me until right before I went to bed to get into the Word. Like, yeah. Sometimes, like, I'm not going to sit up here and say, like, I'm amazing because I'm far from it.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You sleep for what?
Eight,
nine, maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lucky, maybe 10. I mean, I wish I was sleeping 10 hours a day. I'll tell you that right now. I've been burnt out, but it's like there's so much time, and you just gotta block it off. Mm-hmm. Like, you really, like, if it's what your heart is yearning for, and you know what God can do in your life, you know, set aside time for Him.
Yeah,
you know, prayer's huge. You know, because like I think it's just like the base, like you kind of said, like the base of, like, you know, aligning your heart with God's desires. But you know, it could be as simple as just like reading a chapter a day, or just like reading a couple verses and really like getting yourself immersed and like really trying to find applications. What can I do in my life right now?
Yeah,
that's gonna help me, you know, put this verse into action.
Yeah.
Or even just having more conversations, like you're right. It's like you could say all of these things, but like until you really put action, and I can promise you right now, like when you put action, you keep consistency. Like it is transformative.
Mm-hmm.
It is mind blowing. The kind of like we talked about earlier, like the way my life has changed, and the things that God has brought me.
Yeah,
it's just been. I will be forever grateful. I am still like in shock of the, you know, the people that God has brought me and to love me and all of that. And so like I challenge everyone. I don't know if people do challenges on
sometimes I do
this podcast. But like I really challenge everyone to just find whatever avenue works for you to grow closer to God. Because like you said, my relationship with God and how I seek God is different how you see God and how David seeks God.
Right.
And like the things that everyone else does. And like not everything is going to work for the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone, but that's the beautiful thing about it is everyone has their own relationship with God.
Yeah.
Like if you can go to church, like I recommend it. I love it too.
Yeah. I recommend going to church for multiple reasons, but
it's church is awesome. But like, for example, like for me, like I play club baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, our weekend got canceled.
Yeah.
But like for the rest of the season, like my Sunday mornings are now booked.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but like, what other avenues can I find to connect with God?
Mm.
And so I challenge everyone who watches this to do that. Whether it's through more in depth prayer, whether it's through reading a little bit of scripture, going to church, finding a community group near you, just even people in your life that you know will have a positive impact and lead you closer to God, a podcast.
Yeah.
So that's my challenge for y'all. And so I'll that's it. Yeah.
Awesome, man.
That's what I got there.
That's good.
Beautiful day, by the way.
Oh, it is. It is nice. There's not a cloud in the sky.
It started off a little chilly, but it is like
The
sun has warmed us.
It is warming up.
It's been, I could sit here forever.
I'm not going to lie. I won't do that, but it is nice outside. It is nice outside.
The spring is it's felt in North Carolina for
this is a while. This is the spring day. I think probably the most spring day we've had in a minute.
Yeah. Bipolar weather. It's crazy.
Yeah. North Carolina does not make sense, bro. Yeah, I want to, I guess one thing that I would want to, well, do you have any more questions? Or do you have anything that you want to ask or even talk about?
How, things I want to talk about. For so many things.
Yeah.
I should be thinking about this. Give me like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm gonna.
Okay.
And I think of something good.
Okay.
Think of something good.
All right.
But I guess like just because it's kind of the topic of conversation right now, like, what are the avenues? Like, how do you spend your time with God?
Great question. How do I spend my time with God? I think there are a few things. The first is like the mindset. And then the practice as well, right? So with the mindset that I've had to work on is regarding God as a being, like regarding him as a person, right? Jesus walked. You know what I'm saying? I guess animals can walk too. But that's not the point. The point is that Jesus walked, right? So the Lord walked with me, all right? I think we have to, when we read the word, we look at the fact that Jesus is not being personified as a human, right? He was one. He was fully man and fully God. The Lord is not being personified as humanity, but we're being personified as God. I'm not saying that we are God, but it says in the word in Genesis, we were made in the likeness of his image, right? In the likeness of him. And so if we were made and created to look like God, then all the things that we do is in some ways a reflection of God. So the idea of walking with people stems from God, right? Now, well, actually, I'm going to cut back that last part. There's truth in what I just said, but that statement that I said does not make it true. So I'm going to take that back. The first focus is the mindset. So having the mindset of regarding the Lord as a being. And then the practices comes into how can I spend time with this being? So my dad told me this. He told me that when it comes to prayer, when it comes to reading the word, when it comes to salvation and people accepting salvation, that the whole thing about the salvation and this going to hell thing is that in life you are given the option of feeding your flesh or feeding your spirit. And when you choose to feed your flesh and indulge your flesh, you are giving into sin. And when you choose to feed your spirit and focus your mind on the things of the spirit and the things of heaven, the things of God, you're feeding yourself with godly things. And so when you choose to feed yourself with godly things, that sustains you, right? And that sustains you in a way that God can, unlike sin, which, like you said before, leaves a void, right? Like his appetite is quickly, his appetite is never really filled. And so when looking in terms of like, how can I fill my mind, fill my body, fill my spirit with godly things, because it makes me more like him, right? That's really the mindset. It's like the mindset is like, I'm looking to become more like Christ. What are things that I can do to become more like him? Jesus spoke scripture, so I got to learn scripture. I need to learn how Jesus thought. I need to learn how he spoke, because the way he spoke is the way that I need to think, right? Like from your speech, you come from your thoughts comes what you say, right? From the heart, the mouth speaks. From the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you speak is a reflection of what's in your heart, right? And so your mind and your heart, they go hand in hand, right? Like you can't live without the other. Your mind and your heart, even like in a physical capacity, yeah, your brain, you're,
can't do it.
you're one of the, you can't have one without the other. And so your heart gives you a way to apply these things, but your brain has to be filled with the knowledge of God. And so the practicality comes in from reading the word. How do I spend time reading the word? I wake up in the morning and the first thing that I do, I try to do this whenever I wake up, is before I touch my phone. Sometimes I touch my phone if I gotta text somebody and it's like I gotta like kind of move that along, but usually before I start scrolling or before I start doing anything, I try to start my day with reading the word, praying, journaling my prayer, or journaling whatever I feel like God is sharing with me that day. I start the day with this. And I got this idea of starting the day with this because I heard this in a church sermon. So in a psalm, it says, I'm not sure which psalm, but in church, we learned this, that every day the shepherds used to anoint the sheep's head with oil. They anointed the sheep's head with oil because what would happen is these flies, they would fly into the sheep's ears and they would lay these eggs. And the eggs would hatch and cause sickness and cause death for the sheep, right? And they would crawl into the brain and like eat. Like there was a whole bunch of things that would go wrong with it. It's very like gruesome and like just like disgusting stuff if you actually research about like what these larvae do to the sheep. And so the way the shepherds protect the sheep is they anoint them with oil. They basically rub oil over their ears so the flies can't stick to them, so they can't like lay the eggs. Like it protects them, right? In the same way, now wait, this is also important. They do this daily. Every single day, they do this for the sheep. Now, a lot of times we are compared to sheep in terms of like our relationship with Christ. He is the good shepherd. We're the sheep. So in the same way, when I heard the sermon, and as the pastor was saying, it's important that I continuously and daily seek the Lord because it is my covering. It's my protection from the things of this world that are meant to cause death to me, right? And if you think about it in a sense of this is a battle between light and dark, if you look at this as a battle between the forces of God and the forces of evil and the forces of the enemy, then you will see that this isn't just a faith where we mosey around and just share the good news. There is so much more like at work, right? Jesus preached about the kingdom of heaven and becoming a part of the kingdom of God and doing work for the kingdom of God, right? There was so much more at work than just sitting and being in fellowship with one another. And so the way that the Lord convicted me was that I need to be getting my word daily. I need to be spending time with him on a daily basis. I need to be talking with him and being covered by him. Because if I'm not being covered by his word, if I'm not being fed by his word, then I'm not going to be equipped to go out, right? In Ephesians 6 talks about the sword is the word is our sword, right? In terms of the armor of God, the word is our sword, our sword to combat the forces of this world. And so when we look at this happened in church today, talked about temptation, right? The way we combat temptation is the same way Jesus did, which is with the word of God, right? The scripture that he spoke when Jesus, or when the enemy tempted him to turn the stone into bread, Jesus said that you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's Deuteronomy, right? So Jesus is speaking Old Testament scripture to face the problems that he was facing in that day, right? And so it's the same way. It's like if we want the tools and the weapons to face temptation, if we want to be equipped to protect ourselves and guard ourselves, then we have to fill ourselves with, we have to arm ourselves with the word of God, right? And I mean this in a literal sense. I carry that thing with me everywhere I go. It's always in my backpack. People always ask me, why do you have your backpack? Everything that I need is in there. My laptop is in there if I need to post something. My Bible's in there if I need to pray. Like, I got a charger in there if my phone dies. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got my hard drive in there if I got to edit something as well. Like, everything that I need is in that bag, but I carry that Bible with me, like, everywhere. Because I learned from TJ. He carried it with him all the time. And he would pull it out, and I wouldn't have it with him. Or I wouldn't have it with me whenever we just, like, got together and started reading the word. And it was like, I wasn't armed. Like, I wasn't ready. This man was prepared to pray, to go to war, to help me, to encourage me, to whatever it was. And I didn't come with what I needed, right? And so there's a sense of, like, preparation that needs to happen. Kind of like going to the gym, all right? Or like soldiers. You know, yeah, they're in their barracks, but they're training. They're working out. You know, they're going to... They're practicing their aim. They're doing a whole bunch of things to stay sharp, to stay ready for the day that comes when their nation will call upon them, right? And that parallel is synonymous to the kingdom of God. The word says that we should stay ready, right? We should be urgent and expectant of the Lord's return, right? And so this, it starts with a desire. And then it turns into this urgency of like, I need to be ready, and not fearful, but it's just like I'm constantly locked in, yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
And so the way to sum up what I just said, because I said a lot, but it all connects together. I would say the mindset we have to have the desire to seek the Lord and to regard our God as a being. We are created in His likeness, right? Before there was human, there was God. And I think a lot of times we forget that the idea of humanity came from God. And so we can regard God as a being that is with us and for us and leading us, then we're going to treat him like a person, right? Like a being with its own thoughts and its own feelings and its own heart, all right? And its own desires. And so that the mindset is important. The practicality, how would I seek the Lord is renewing my mind. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to approve and test what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So being able to know his will comes from renewing our mind, and renewing our mind comes from filling it with not bread, but the word of God, right? And so if you think of it like eating, you know, how many days can you go without eating? And I mean, as you grow in your spiritual walk with God, you'd find out that you can go some days without eating, but not necessarily in terms of going without the word of God. And the more you fill your word of God, there are days when, like, I think last week, when I forgot to read the word, and I was like, I didn't read the word today. And I was feeling like a part of me was like, it was not filled. And I went to sleep that day, not reading it. And I just knew that, like, I not in the sense like I missed that, but just like, I didn't get fed today. Right? And if we can see consuming the Word of God and eating the scroll as a sense of, like, just like bread, you know, just like your basic macros for the day of eating. Like, you go to the gym, you got to have your protein to build that strength. It's the same way. Like, you can go to church, you can pray all you want to, but we got to fill our hearts and our minds with the food that he gave us for it, you know? And yeah, that's my practicality. It's really just seeking the God continuously. Now, sometimes it might change, right? Sometimes I might read it throughout the day, or maybe I didn't read it in the morning, but I'll get to a part in my day where I have time, and I'll read it then, or I'll pray then. And then another level of practicality that comes into is, like, really asking the Lord what he would want me to do, like, each day. Like, what he wants me to accomplish, or what who he wants me to talk to, reach out to, whatever. Like, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure the day that you would reach out to me was the same day that I probably prayed about what I needed to, like, do or accomplish or work on that day, or what God would have me do, right? Like, I do that so consistently and so much that the Lord is, like, he's letting me know, right? And I might not always pray it, but my heart is seeking it. So, like, I'm looking, like, where would God move me today, right? Like, if I'm his soldier, right? I'm one of his Marines. Where is he deploying me out today? Like, where is he sending me? Where is he going to have me be stationed today? Like, am I in the town today? Am I patrolling? Am I making sure that things are good? Am I talking to someone who's lost and who's like undergoing some sort of stress or burden? Or am I on the front lines today? Is he sending me out to cover someone in prayer? You know, is he having me network with people? Is he having me come up with strategies? Am I teaching people, right? Am I going to Bible study and spending time with them and sharing what the Lord's been sharing with me? Am I going there to get fed, right? There's such a practicality to the way God can be involved in our life, but it only comes with, like, truly having the mindset of seeking, like, how can I make God a part of my life today? And it's going to start small. It'll start and maybe feel like it's not where you wanted to go, but it will continue to grow, right? Like, when I was first learning and growing in this last year, like, a lot of the stuff that the Lord was leading me to do wasn't necessarily directing me, but he was directing people around me. And I felt I wanted to be there. Like, I wanted to be where God was. And whenever I got around TJ, Bella, David, I kid you not, I knew God was going to be there. Like, every time. Whenever they got together, I knew God's going to be there. I want to be there too. And they would call me. They would text me and like, let me know. And I showed up because I'm like, I want to be there. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how he's going to move. I don't even know if he's going to say anything to me. But you know what I'm saying? It might not even be like I'm in the room, but I don't care. Like, I want to be in that room. I want to be in that car, on that phone call. I want to hear, because I know God was going to move whenever they got together. And so I was so serious about making sure that I was amidst them, because I was like, if this is where he going to be, like, if someone told you that, hey, God's going to be here at this day, at this time, like, you would move mountains to make sure that you were in position, right? But only if you were hungry for that. And I think that we have to be hungry for it now, like, it's here, because it is here. A lot of us are saying, like, we can't wait till we go to heaven, but this idea isn't one of my pastors back home, he says, this idea is not an escape plan. It's not to leave God's creation. Like, yes, the Lord is coming here, right? But we are called to reign with Christ, right? We are called to more than just to escape the harsh realities of life. We're called here to conquer things, right? We're called here to conquer things here on earth and do the will of God and to spread his kingdom and his domain. But we're also called to be obedient. And when it's time for us to go, when we're called home and we're called to be in the presence of the Lord, then we're going to be called to be in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to act on that. And we're we're going to receive that with open arms. But I think a lot of times we also forget that there's still work for us to do here, you know? Like, you were created with a purpose. Like, you weren't created so you can figure out how you can leave, you know? Like, we were created because the earth needs something here and now, mm-hmm. right? And God's glory, and this is going back to the kingdom of God, God's glory can be revealed through us living out our purpose through other means and other things, right? And he obviously is going to direct us as that time comes, whether that's changing your profession or changing your outlook on life, or, you know, changing relationships or changing where you live. Like, it can go through all types and all walks of life. But the idea is to reveal God's glory through our daily lives. And I think that would be like, that's like the end goal. And that is like an end goal, but like, that's like the plateau, right? It's like, the goal is to reveal the glory of God. And honestly, as you grow and as you do more things, and as God would lead you to do and accomplish more in his name, the more that glory for God is going to increase. And so it's not going to be a consistency of just here. You're going to be here, and then you're going to elevate. You're going to be here, and then God's going to elevate you. Because it's like, there's not an amount of glory that God can't receive from me living my life. Does that make sense? That's like where we're all like heading to. But it starts here. You know, it starts like, okay, it's progression. Like, I'm going to read the word. I'm going to see God daily. I'm going to have the mindset that he's going to be able to speak into my life. That I'm going to have the mindset and regard him as a being, as a person. I'm going to regard him as the source of my humanity, not him being the likeness of me, but me being the likeness of him. And then after the practicalities and the mindset have been developed, I'm going to continue to feed myself with the word. I'm going to seek him daily. I'm going to see, where can I be a part of where he's going to be? Like, God, where would you have me? Where are you going to be? Or where do you need me to be? And as this discipline and consistency grows, your urgency and your sincerity of seeking God is just going to continue to grow. There are people who talk to me about the Lord, and it's like, you can tell when they're hungry for it. You can tell when they're like, I want to be where he is, or I want to seek him, and I want to be with him. I want to be in his presence. I want to be in his midst. It's one thing to proclaim Jesus, but it's another thing to live for him, right? And so, you know, it's a progression. I wouldn't say that, you know, there's necessarily like an end goal. It's kind of like your purpose. Like, your purpose is ingrained in your identity that God placed into you, but you're going to reflect that in different walks of life. But at the end of your life, the goal is to be able to look back and say that you lived for God and lived for the purpose for which he created you, right? And so I think sometimes the stigma behind Christianity is that the limits of God are set in the boundaries of church. All right, and there are many people who are pastors who will never pastor a church because God has given them a gift to be able to lead people and lead them to him, right? There are people who are called to preach the word of God who will never step foot in a church because they are called to people of the streets, right? They're called to people on the sidewalk, and called to people in corporate America. They're called to people in the justice system, you know, like, God doesn't need to be confined to only church. God can operate on the baseball field. He can operate on the soccer field. He can operate in the art galleries. I mean, like, he can operate in all walks of life if we would choose to bring him or allow and welcome his presence there. Right?
Yeah.
And that goes back to what you said about the implementation. How can I make God a part of my daily life? Is the more, by this time next year, I guarantee that the way that you allow God into your life will not be the same that you are now. It'll be greater. And 10 years from now, it'll be even greater than that. And then your kids, it'll be greater than that, you know? And it changes form, but it doesn't lose its meaning. And so I think sometimes, like, we read the word, and I said a lot there, but I felt like I needed to say all that because sometimes we read the word, we go to church, but we don't understand that there's such a deeper meaning to why we do those things. Before, I used to read the word and go to church because that's what I was supposed to do, right? And it doesn't mean I didn't benefit from it, But I don't benefit from it then like I do now, because now it's my choice, and now I understand my reasons for why I do what I do, right? Mm-hmm. And when I understand my reasons, no one needs to tell me to read the word today. I did it, you know? Not reading the word is its own punishment for me, because I didn't feed myself today like I needed to, right? And, like, that's really how it comes down to. You know, you, like, talk about, like, they don't want to be punished, or they're afraid that God's going to punish them for the sin. Sin punishes you. God doesn't need to do that. Like, the overflow and destructive power of sin to not only spill into your life, but to lives of other people, I mean, that in itself is the punishment, right? Yeah, like, the wages for sin is death. But, like, the wages for sin is death, because that's God's law for the sin and strife that we cause, right? Like, when Cain killed Abel, right? Like, the Lord said that Abel's blood screams out, like, it's crying out from the earth, right? He murdered his brother. His blood is crying out to me from the earth. Like, what have you done? You know, like the amount of pain. That was Adam and Eve's first child, right? They were born, but he said it was clinging by the Cain was clinging by the heel, right? So like they named him Cain, which has like a very specific meaning in the Bible. But he was clinging to the heel. Like, that was his brother. That was their first child. Like, can you imagine the pain that they had that their own child would kill their other child? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot of pain. That's a lot of strife. The punishment of sin is its own punishment. The last thing we should be worried about is God's wrath, which we should be worried about that. But make no mistake, some of that can still be felt today without him needing to necessarily intervene, you know?
100%.
So, I know I said a lot, but I truly do believe that all of those things are pertinent, because, it comes down to a mixture of the mindset and the practicalities. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, absolutely. I loved it. I think, like you said, like the really expanding on the implementation part. And I like how you said, just use the example of like that time last week when you didn't read you feel like you weren't fed, like mm-hmm. you're missing out on something so great.
Yeah.
And so, it's inspiring seeing like where you are right now. You know, I think it's the way that you are attacking, you know, spreading the gospel, and how you have your avenues of being I just love that term, being fed.
Yeah,
like
that's what it
being
is
being fulfilled, right? Like, yeah, it's like no one's ever gonna fulfill you mm-hmm. in life like God's gonna fulfill you,
right?
And so it's just like I love it.
Yeah, man. I'm glad, man.
That was perfect. Dude. Awesome. Couldn't have been a better answer.
Praise God, man. That's sometimes I never really plan for what happens on the episodes. I just kind of let them flow. No. I know sometimes if it's a specific topic, I should prepare for it. But usually, God will just have me show up. And I just pray that I'm in the right mindset to be talking. But if that's what needed to be said, then perfect, man.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
It's been good.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad we were able to like do this and everything.
Absolutely, man.
I needed it.
Yeah. What we're gonna do now is we're gonna give I want you to give one piece of advice just to anyone who could be listening about how they can, I guess, walk in the same manner that you've learned to walk in the past year, honestly, I guess you say the 3.5 years, like, that just progression, you know? Like, you're here now, but that was a progression. What is it, some advice that you would give to someone who desires to walk in the same way that you do?
I think prayer is a great starting point. Truly, whether it's, you know, once a day, twice a day, you know, I say, like, you know, I think, like, at least, like, the beginning out, like, I always try to pray in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up, you know, thanking God for giving me purpose today and giving mm-hmm. me, you know, a plan to do something. And then I think, like, I think praying at night, my friend's mom over Christmas break, actually, we were kind of just talking about prayer, and I told her how I would always, like, you know, pray at night, but, like, sometimes I'd be so tired, like, I just, like, middle of the prayer, I just passed out, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was always, like, I was never able to finish my prayer, and, like, I was never able to, like, tell God everything that was on my heart and on my mm-hmm. mind. But she said, like, it's okay. Like, she says, like, I love praying at night because even if you fell asleep during prayer, she's like, it's like you're falling asleep with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, when I heard that, I was like, whoa, that's, like, mm-hmm. that's kind of powerful. Like, mm-hmm. I'm falling asleep, but I'm falling asleep with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that aspect, because it's like I fall asleep with God, but I wake up with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's there for you. So I think prayer is, like, a really big starting point, because it's almost just, like, how you're – yes, you're telling him what you need, but you're also confessing to him. You're also telling him – which he already knows, by the way. He already knows what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
But being able to have that conversation with him is really big. So I think prayer is a really big, like, foundational aspect. And then just consistency. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my relationship's been like this with God. It hasn't been easy.
Mm-hmm.
I've had, you know, very fruitful seasons where I was really into the word, and I was really into church,
mm-hmm.
and I was really into trying to get my friends in on it, and mm-hmm. really just trying to spread the gospel. And there's been seasons where all I had was prayer.
Mm.
But, you know, that's why I emphasize prayer, at least for me, because that's having that foundational aspect is what led me to wanting to keep seeking God.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe the moment, the timing, you know, whether it's you're going through family stuff or your own personal issues and struggles, like, because I had prayer and I always knew I had God to talk to at any point of the day, no matter where I was, what I was doing.
Any point of the day.
That's what got me to where I am today. So mm-hmm. I think, like, you know, it could be something as simple as that. Just talk to God.
Yeah.
Right? Like, doesn't matter what you're doing. A minute, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 20 minutes, it could be whatever you want it to be. But just know that he's always there with you, and that if you stay the course and you condition and train your heart and mind, like you said, they go together. Mm-hmm. And you open your heart and you let God into your life. That's the thing. Like, keeping it closed isn't going to help you. Like, mm-hmm. you really got to open it, and you have to be willing to let God put certain people in your life and put you in situations that are going to help you be, you know, more conditioned and more, you know, seeking the word and seeking being a Christian. Like, you're going to have to make sacrifices too.
Mm.
Like, that's the hard thing that for the longest time I never wanted to do. You're going to have to make certain sacrifices in your life, but it's for the greater good. It's for the kingdom of God. And so that's kind of my little spiel there.
Mm.
Just, like, trust in God with all your mind and with all your hope, with all your heart and your soul, and let like, it sounds corny, but let Jesus take the wheel. Like, I'm telling you, like, yeah. Jesus and God, they have the best path for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, know that they're never going to leave you. It's like you kind of, like, going back to the analogy of the sheep, and God's the good shepherd, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes into the story where it's like,
there's millions, and we're all God's sheep. And even if you think you're going away from him and you're straying from the pen and, like, you think that he forgot about you, he didn't.
Yeah.
He's there. He's watching you go over here, and you think you're escaping him and you're trying to run from him because you've had so much sin and you've done all these mistakes and you've made all these things. But he's the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He's right there with you, and he's going to draw you back in. He's going to do little things in your life, and then you're going to start to see, like, wow, he really wants me to be his son. And so
I'm going to do an episode on sheep, actually, one day.
It's that, I mean, there's so many different...
They're funny. I'm not going to lie.
I was a lost sheep. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Like, I was a lost sheep, and no matter how many things I did for God to hate me and for God to neglect me and be mad and be disappointed in me, he was there for me every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And he still loves me. No matter what I did, he still cared about me, and he was still gracious for me, and he showed so much mercy. And so it's, you know, no matter what point you are in your life, no matter how dark, no matter how deep, God's there with us in the water, man.
Yeah.
You think you're drowning, but he's there. He's there every step of the way. So
that's excellent, man. Yeah. I think my advice for anyone is piggybacking off what you said, but primarily about trust. And I think the biggest growth that I've had in my relationship with God has come from my ability to trust him more than I have before. And the thing about trust is developed over a span of time with moments in time. So you can know somebody a long time but not trust them because you haven't developed it. You can know someone a short amount of time, but have spent so much time with them, talking to them, exchanging things with them, that you feel like you've known them forever, right? And it's the same way with God. Like, your time of knowing who God is does not automatically dictate that you trust him, but it's what you share, right? And I think it's like a relationship. You know the difference. If you're, like, dating somebody, you know when they share something of value, when they don't. You know when they're really sharing something that's real and when they're just putting on some fluff, right? And it's the same way. God knows when you're sharing what's really here versus what's some fluff. Now, that doesn't mean that you just come out here and automatically share everything because you feel pressured to. But what that does mean is that the more you share, the more you will trust, right? Like, to the degree with what you share is to the degree that you will trust. So if I share something that's big, I'm going to trust big, but only because I'm going to be able to see God handle the big things, right? And if you share small, you're going to see your trust with God as small, right? Like, you think you trust God, but it's like, no, you only trust God as much as you've been willing to share. And the biggest advice that I would say is don't let your current belief of God limit your future understanding of him. Like, you're going to, where you are now is okay for where you're at now, but don't let your current perception of who God is, like, limit and be the boundaries of which God can operate, because he's bigger than that, right? He can be bigger, and he is bigger than that, but he can only be bigger if you would allow him to show himself in that way to you. A way of explaining this is, it's kind of like a trust fall. It's one thing if you choose to turn around and let them catch you versus you fall and God catches you, right? Like, yes, God will still catch you, but the amount of trust it takes to let him catch you versus to just fall because to, like, let him catch you from your own folly, there's a big difference. And I have been in the situation of both allowing him to, like, choosing to catch me, right? Like, choosing to, like, okay, I'm going to fall, but I know the Lord will catch me. Like, letting the Lord catch me. And then doing everything in my power to not let him catch me, only to be caught by him, right? Like, it's relieving, but it doesn't also build that trust. And so, or it builds trust, but it just takes more time because you're not willingly handing it over. And so I would say the way to develop trust goes back to the prayer. the amount of time that you spend with him and the quality of time that you spend with him is equally important. It doesn't mean nothing if it's also like dating too. Like, it don't mean nothing if you spend time with them, but the quality of time is terrible. You know, it's like you might as well not spend any time together at all. And so, you know, I think 5 minutes with God, where I'm generally pouring out my heart, versus 30 minutes where I'm just sitting there and I'm on my phone, is a big difference. It's a big difference in quality of time. And let my dad also explain this too, mostly in the sense of spiritual gifts, but it relates to all things. It's like the more God sees you show up for what he wants you to do, the more he'll trust you to handle these other things, right? There's like a level of trust that God needs to have in you on his side to be able to say, okay, like, I see him showing up. Like, he's not going to give things to someone who wasn't necessarily... It's kind of like the... it's kind of like, well... This is different because he did that to teach him a lesson. What's an example of this in the Bible? I can't think of one right now. But let's basically, the way of thinking about it is like, to whom much is given, much is required. Right?
Yeah.
So your relationship with God, the way we treat that is important. And so if we would treat God the way that I guess we should treat that relationship, the more God will not only see our hearts, but also like honor the fact that we are doing that in the way that we should be doing. So yeah, built that trust slowly but surely. And that will transform your faith months, years, decades, from now. And that's it.
Wow. Yeah, trust is huge.
Trust is huge. Because I have been on that road where I haven't trusted God fully, and it doesn't hit the same.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much. It does not hit the same if you choose to trust God and then he comes through. I'm not saying there won't be those moments where it's like,
no, it's tough.
Is he gonna make it? there are those moments.
No, absolutely. I completely agree, and especially with those moments.
Like, yeah,
there's gonna be times where it's gonna be hard to trust God, but you just have to know in your heart and in your mind that like you're gonna have to trust God.
Yeah,
like you have to, you know, you have to lean on him in situations. And
yeah.
Don't lean on to your own understanding, but right. To know that God has the right path and the right idea, and then he's training to be a soldier. So yeah. I love that. No, that's great.
It's kind of like if you you're going and riding a bicycle, and like, you know, dad, mom, whoever taught you how to ride, if you had your parents teach you how to ride, which everyone didn't, but I was fortunate enough to have that, so appreciate you, Dad. What he did was he helped me, like, stay on the seat, right? So the idea is that I have to be able to trust him to hold me up when I was riding initially. And then there were times we took his hand off, right? But that instinct fear is like, hey, where are you going? Like, we just started. Come back, you know? Mm-hmm. But little did I know, he was still right there the entire time. So if I fell over, he'd be right there to catch me. Doesn't mean his hand is necessarily on me, but he's right there watching me ride along. Mm. And then he got to the point to where he could trust me to ride down to the end of the street or down the hill with him running alongside me or with him standing and watching me. Then I got to the point where he trusted me, where he didn't even have to watch me, but I had to tell him that I'm going to ride my bike. And then I got to the point where I didn't have to tell him. The trust was already there, right? Mm. And so it's a progression. I think, thinking about it, like, sometimes we got the training wheels on our prayers and our relationship with God. Sooner or later, he will take them off. And as he takes them off, that will be the next stage of allowing or choosing to see, or what is it going to be? That will be the next stage of where you get to see God show up for you. But, you know, it might initially be uncomfortable.
Absolutely. That's a great analogy, too. I can remember riding my bike for the first time.
Yeah.
No, and just knowing dad's like, you know, his hand's there.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Praise God, man. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, well, this has been a episode of the Quicker Six Podcast. Y'all already know what's going on. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Quicker Six Podcast, the community of conversation. Again, I'm your host, Gabriel Brown. This has been my lovely friend, my lovely guest, Brian Coleman. Thank you for joining us, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been a blessing.
Awesome,
and I,
man.
I look forward to peeping this when it comes
out.
Yes,
sir, so, bro. Yes, sir. Yes,
watch
sir.
The film. So,
I'll let you know.
It's been awesome.
Absolutely,
all
man.
All glory to God.
Definitely, man. Definitely. All glory and praise to him. Again, this has been also, if you're watching this on YouTube, Gabriel will be planted. So if you're watching this and you like this content, I talk about faith, talk about creativity, and also my entrepreneurial journey. And so if any of those things or all of those things interest you, stick around. I'll see y'all in the next one. Peace and love, y'all. Bye-bye.